Oh yeah, we're awake. If you're not awake by now, if truly, 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 if you are not awake by now, just hit the snooze button. Don't worry about it. I'm Richard Grund. This is Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio. We're here tonight to talk about some really current things that are shaking up the world. But before we do that, I need to bring my co-host on the air so I'm not flying solo. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, and happy Father's to you, and happy Father's Day to everybody else out there, all the dads out there. I commend you guys because in the world that we live in, it is tough enough to raise children, but going into such dark times, it makes it even tougher. So kudos to you guys, and it's good to be here as always. Another exciting show. I look forward to it. And to top it off here, we'll go to the weather report. To Richard. Richard, tell me about your weather, because I can tell you in New England, it was 66 degrees as a low and 82 as a high today. Now it's back down to about 73. How's it going over there?
Well, it's 93 at the moment with the heat index of 100, and it's been that way for a couple of days, and it's pretty brutal. And my attitude is, if it's going to be this hot, I want to be on a beach somewhere on the ocean with my feet in the sand and be broadcasting from a Caribbean island, because this has gotten brutal. I can't even imagine August. I know I keep saying that, and it's like this lingering fear that it's just going to get hotter. The whole world's nuts. Nature's nuts. Society's nuts. Government, economics. I mean, I don't even know where to begin, but before we do, little update on the studio. The room's cleared out. The desks are in. The boxes are in. Now it's a matter of soundproofing it, putting up the desks, setting up the lights and the cameras, and shouting action. We're almost there. I'm not going to rush it. So I'm really, anytime this summer it might happen, but let's look towards September, the kickoff point for us as we close out the year. So the latest that everything will be up and running by September, but if, again, still a couple of pieces missing. If you want to help us out, if you want to support, go to either firefalltalkradio.com or supernaturalresponse.net, fill out the contact button, and let us know what you can do. We're almost there. I'm excited, also a little overwhelmed at the possibility of the amount of work, but considering what's going on in the world, I have to say, Joe, and you and I have talked about this, we're running out of time. I know we say this, and I know people have been saying this for a very long time, but just watching the signs of the times, they're not happening one right after the other. This isn't a domino effect. This is like fireworks. They're all going off at different times, different heights, different powers, and it's just exploding all around us. And if you didn't have faith, and if you didn't have a vision for where you were going, you could easily become like a deer in the headlights.
Oh, man, there's so many things that we can talk about and we'll talk about moving forward in shows to come, and probably even as we go into fall and Oktoberfest. There's so much to talk about. But, you know, let me just say this, Richard, because you know how we get our little light bulb moments from time to time, whether we're doing something or we watch something or just, you know, we just get hit with this and it's like a wow factor. But, you know, obviously with Jaws going, I believe it's 40th anniversary, you know, this past summer, I watched a classic movie last night, and the movie was Orca. Now, Orca came out in 1977. I think it was Bo Derek was in it. Richard Harris was in it. And it was one of those type of movies that, you know, the gist of it is he hooks a female whale. She ends up killing herself, and she was pregnant. And then the male, the father, went after this guy, and it was a vengeance. So, I mean, it was an all right movie for the 70s. And then I started doing some research about even SeaWorld, and that's right in your neck.
Yeah, it's over right there. Down the road, 15-20 minutes away.
Right down the road. And, you know, I was doing some research on killer whales, and the whale that attacked, that actually killed the trainer, I think it was in 2010, right. I believe. And I found out that same whale killed two other people, but that was accidental. And then I started thinking, and this is where my wheels were turning. All week, even last week, I'm following what's happening. And, you know, South Carolina, a lot of crazy things are happening, shark attacks. Even in South Carolina, they haven't had a shark attack.
A couple of young kids lost arms and legs.
Lost arms and legs. And then you wonder that, you know, we talked about this a few years ago. We follow the signs in the times, obviously, on with the Bible, and we go forward, and we base everything on that. But we also base it on weather, and we also base it on how nature reacts to things, especially animals, marine life, right. Fish. And then this was my wow factor. I mean, they're all wow factors, but this was the big wow factor. You take SeaWorld, you take a place that contains these large predators, these beasts, and you try to package it, and you try to do whatever you can to show that you can hang with them. They can be trained, and they're intelligent, and that's all true too. And then I look at it the same thing with the supernatural. I said, you know, the movies, the shows, the reality, everybody, all these experts, they're claiming they know how to do this. They're qualified. They can go into these houses. They can get rid of these things. And you know, I say to myself, the time is coming that these beasts have kind of been kept in check. And I don't even want to say kept in check, but they kind of held back a little bit, eased back, let the paranormal world sink through a little bit. And I believe that the same thing is happening in the supernatural realm. Eventually, these beasts are going to surface and say, okay, enough is enough now at this point. And they're going to make themselves known. And these little creatures and these little ghosts, quote unquote, you know, that everybody seems they have them contained because they're professionals, everybody's going to get their butts kicked at this point in the game, because I think the fallen is ready to explode.
Yeah, I do too. I was just talking about that with somebody the other day and just saying, look, from what I'm seeing, from what I've personally experienced, especially since November when SRT went to Alabama, I am expecting a full-blown manifestation, but on a level that all these people out there that teach spiritual warfare and all the eggheads and all the conference jumpers, they're gonna be hoping they had a box of Depends nearby, because it's going to get that kind of freaky. It's going to get that really weird. And we're seeing it in the natural. We're seeing it in society. We're starting to see it with the animals. They're acting out. They're doing things that are unusual. I just read one of the articles about the teenage girl that was attacked in North Carolina. Now, normally when a shark bites a person, it realizes that this is not food and lets them go. She said it chewed up the length of her arm. It started lower and just kept going. And you look at that and you go, but wait a second, that's abnormal behavior. And they can say, oh, it's mating season. They're in a frenzy. No, all of nature's in a frenzy. Things, whales are beaching themselves. Entire coastlines are covered with crabs and fish. And they're all trying to either get out of the ocean or they're trying to die, because whatever's coming has got them agitated to the point that they don't want to be here. And it's interesting that we started out on this topic, because here we are. Today is the summer solstice. Today is the longest day of the year. And that's great. Well, I remember when I was a kid, I loved this day. It meant you could stay out later, you could do more, but it also signified that summer was winding down, and then back to school and then back to winter and all that other stuff. But in the pagan world, this is a lesser Sabbath, but it's the marking of the beginning of the sun dying and the darkness coming back, and the veil between the two worlds is thinner. And normally this is a night that the fairies, you know, not the ones in San Francisco, but the ones in the woods, they're dancing and doing their thing. Sorry, couldn't resist. Sorry, it was a visual. It hit me in the head, and I had to have a V8. Sending all the remarks to Joe. Okay, we're back. But anyway, all of this is crazy. It's crazy right now. And I stumbled upon this. I realized it was the solstice. I had a little issue of my own attack over the last 24, 48 hours. And I knew it was. And I dealt with it. And I pushed back. But the veil between the two worlds is very thin. And this is where divination is at its height. And the maidens would look, you know, try to divine a husband. And we're talking about fertility and virility and nature and harnessing the sun's power. And I'm thinking about this going, wait a second. This past week, between the shark attacks, between some of the things we're going to talk about, all the things popping off in the world, to have this happening at the same time. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe not. I don't know. But we're winding down. We're winding down to something that, you know, every year you think, well, it can't get any worse, but we know it will. So I just sit here and I pray and I study. Part of the reason I'm trying to get the studio done so I can start doing videos that you guys can log into to start learning about how to cleanse your property, how to deal with warfare, how to get ready for what's coming, because it's not going to not happen. Let me just say that. It's going to happen. I can't give you an exact time and date, but what you said, Joe, at the beginning is very on point. They know that this is their time. They know that this is their coming out party. This is their moment, and it's going to happen no matter what.
Absolutely. And when you were talking about, you know, the summer solstice and you know, the significance of it on a pagan level and even on a satanic level. Now, listen to this article. This is an article that I read called Summer Solstice Human Sacrifice Ritual. Now, listen to this. This is interesting. The person talked about it. Here we go. Having a good dose of charismatic Pentecostal background, I learned how easy it is to go to extremes. We yet jokingly call this extreme the gospel, according to the late comedian Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. For many in Christianity, everything negative is the fault of the devil, and there is little to no responsibility of humans for our wrong choices and bad actions. I have also had a good dose of the progressives or kingdom believers. So the man goes on to talk about various things of how, you know, one movement will talk about this and where is the reality and is there a devil, is there not a devil? But here's interesting. Listen to this. There is truly nothing new under the sun. Ancient rituals that have been performed for thousands of years and may seem irrelevant to many, yet are performed daily. Person then turns around and says, the elite Luciferian Satanists will be arriving on June 20th in a huge limousines, and he's talking about this day. The solstice on the satanic calendar, okay, is between June 20th and 24th. It is one of the times that Satanists will observe the satanic calendar, and it comprises up to four periods of 13 weeks each. And, I mean, it goes on. It goes on to talk about different things, and even like when we read stuff back in 2012. But a lot of people don't realize it because we always talk about, you know, the pagans and what they do, and they have their place for what they do and what they believe is working for them. But when you start going into that June, like you just said, you know, that June 20th, June 21st, into the 24th, there's 4 days right there that are high
satanic
energy,
yeah,
for satanic. It's just really unbelievable. When I was reading that, I'm saying, you know, we're always talking about, because we're in such a new age right now in Wicca and paganism is so well received that, you know, you kind of tend to shelve what Satanists do aside because, you know, it's become a mock on a certain level, you know, but it really all stems from that. And what is the devil setting, you know, his people into position. So I found that really unique. That
well, if you look at
getting hit with that warfare, you know,
right.
over these next 4 days, it all started to make sense to me.
Well, if you looked at the SRT Facebook page, I posted a picture of 23,000 people showed up at Stonehenge for the solstice. 23,000. Well, you might say, well, that's really not a lot in the grand scheme of things. 23,000 people went out of their way to wanting to be at Stonehenge on the solstice. That's an uptick. That's an uptick. And I think this takes us into the next topic, which we have to cover. Reverend Clementa Pinckney, 41 years old. Tywanza Sanders, 26. Susie Jackson, 87. Ethel Lance, 70. Myra Thompson, 57. Reverend Daniel Simmons, 74. Reverend DePayne Middleton Doctor, 49. Sharonda Singleton, 45. And Cynthia Hurd, 54. Those are the names of the people that on the evening of June 17th, this past week, they went to church for a prayer meeting and left the room in the presence of the Lord. Because the powers of darkness showed up at that prayer meeting too. In Charleston, South Carolina, 21-year-old Dylan Storm Roof sat in the prayer meeting for an hour. They invited him in, predominantly a black but mixed race congregation, but he was the only white person in the room. And as everybody stood up to leave, he opened fire. Five individuals survived because Dylan wanted to start a civil war, and what he started was a spiritual war. The devil hoped that he would cause riots and civil unrest, and what we've seen over the last couple of days, I'm having a hard time here, I'm both angry and upset, is they've seen true Christianity in action. But we have to talk about Charleston, South Carolina, and what's going on in this nation. And the segue from the solstice to the satanic to the demonic is a natural one when you talk about what took place this week.
Well, my question, you know, that I have is this. There's a place for, you know, various groups in sects and what they believe, and they have their times of high praise of what they do. But it seems to me, and I know we say it a lot, but it seems even more now that the practice of Satanism, the worship of Baphomet, and what is happening in the underworld right now, okay, and how they're preparing for everything that we know that's coming. What I think that blows me away the most is, where is the retaliation of the church, of us? Now, we know there are believers out there that are doing the work. They're getting the message out. They're doing what they can do. And, you know, that's great. Kudos to them, you know, for everybody plugging along to do what they can. And you had mentioned, you know, even last year we had that conversation about how the church is behind, you know, how we are behind 20, 25 years as, you know, what spiritual warfare was like in the 80s. Now here we are at 2015, and with the exception of the big guns, you know, the ones that get it and understand it, it just says, it just blows me away how we can't get in sync like pagans are getting in sync with what they believe in and their worship. And where, you know, the Satanists and where they're hitting right now. And where are we in this right now, Richard? Where are we on that totem pole? Are we to the point now where every religion cannot take Christianity seriously? And is it because how we may have commercialized it some in the United States? Where do we stand globally right now as believers in Christ? Where are we?
You know, if anybody listens to my Bible study Wednesday night, I kind of covered it. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer was asked, I think, in 1941, 43, somewhere in there, how did Hitler do what he do? Germany was a Christian nation. And what he said was he blamed it on what's called cheap grace, meaning basically everybody was asleep. My first thought when I heard about this young man going into the Wednesday night prayer meeting and still pulling the trigger, my immediate reaction was thinking from it, from spiritual warfare and from doing security and bodyguard work. Didn't anybody notice? Didn't anybody look in this kid's eyes? Did any bells and whistles go off? And were there no discerning of spirits in that room? I don't know. I don't know where that church body stood on spiritual warfare, the supernatural. I don't know. But what I do know is that sometimes a seed has to fall into the ground and die. And in this case, I think the enemy overplayed his hand. And maybe this will wake up the church. Maybe this will be the rallying cry that, hey, it's not just in the Middle East and it's not just over there where Christians are being beheaded and burned alive and hacked into pieces. It's going to come here. And while I don't think that's this kid's tied to any group, I think, you know, we're going to talk about why I believe he did what he did. Beside demonic possession, you can look in his eyes and realize he's not alone in there. But this may be a rallying cry. This may wake up the churches to understand, and maybe that's why the Lord allowed it, because I've been kind of before him on that one. And I'm not saying he allowed it to the sense of he didn't care, but there's a lot of things that go into it, and I don't want to put any judgment or condemnation on the people that passed away or on their families, because they have shown an incredible amount of grace and love. And I listened to parts of the sermon today and read a lot of it. If the devil wanted to create something, he screwed up. He did just the opposite. We may get a revival out of this. I don't know. I don't use that word lightly, but this young man didn't just hate blacks. If the online manifesto is really his, he hated blacks and Jews and America. The pictures of him burning a flag, quote, I hated the sight of it. Called East Asians allies and the Hispanics a problem. And he wanted all the Jews, and this is bizarre, to turn blue for a day so that everybody would realize that they were different. The enemy just got all over this kid. Now, maybe it was the drugs. I don't know. But I'm swinging back to your question. We are completely and utterly unprepared for what's coming. What you and I do with SRT, what we saw just in Alabama alone was beyond anything we've ever seen before, whether together with SRT or before or from our prior times when we were unsaved. What we saw on that weekend is beyond anything we've ever seen before, and I've watched it escalate around me. I don't go into any detail, and that's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to glorify it or make it look good or give it credence. But what I'm seeing now has me concerned for all the people that are not ready. The Lord told me in 1997 this was coming, that people were going to walk into churches and do stuff like this, and Satanists are going to walk into churches and they're going to outright challenge preachers in the pulpit, and the preachers are going to fall. Whether it's because they're not called to be there, whether it's because they're caught up in the money, whether it's because they just, you know, there's no power. I don't know. But what I do know is this. The enemy's a coward. This kid didn't go into a church where somebody was going to shoot back, because in South Carolina, they have a no carry law in the churches. Interestingly enough, the pastor, who's also a senator, was behind it. This kid went into a place where he knew no one was going to fight back. And look at the ages of the people that died. The youngest one is 26. All the rest are 45 and above. One was 87, another 74. Come on. Come on. This was a coward's play. This was the enemy is a coward. Let me just say that. He's a coward. And we know that. And we know that they're going to act out and do some things. But this, to me, this week has got me both upset. It's got me angry. I would love to be able to go to every church in America and begin to train them and say, hey, this is how you see, this is what you do, this is how you listen, this is what the discerning of spirits is. But the truth is, the majority of them don't want it. We will talk about this in America for a little while. They'll say, oh, this was race related. No, this is not a sin. This is not a skin issue. This is a sin issue. This is not about the color of their skin. This is about the darkness in this individual's hearts and the hearts of others. And until we wake up and understand that's where we are, we're going to see more stories like this.
Do you see this happening more so going forward in 2015? Or do you see it where, you know, we're getting a little tiny, we're getting it in smaller increments, but when we do get it, it's, you know, obviously it's tragic and we know that, but do you think going forward, this is going to be more into 2016? Or do you believe that we're gonna have some more stories that are gonna surface throughout the rest of this year? Because we're in that midpoint. We're in June right now. We're 6 months in. So on our SRT timetable, so to speak, is this the beginning of something that we can know that is gonna happen throughout this year, or is this just a little precursor of going into 2016? Because I don't know if it was you that said it way back. And I think it was 2009 maybe it was. But everybody was geared toward 2012 as something that was going to be really huge. You, on the other hand, were not a firm believer in what was going to happen in 2012, like almost like the year 2000, how it was so pivotal, and everybody thought that, what's going to happen? Are all the computers going to shut down? So then 2012 became that next iconic year to happen. And rightfully so, with the people who are with the Mayans and all that stuff. But you had mentioned back in 2009, and I just don't know if it was 2016, but you had said that what is coming, I'm going to say that I think you said 2016. And that was...
Yeah, dude. I finally caught on to where you were going. Yeah, I said 2015. I was praying a couple of years. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I was praying a couple of years ago, maybe last year or the year before. I kept looking for, you know, a target date, and all I heard was Feast of Tabernacles 2015. And that was before I knew about the Shemitah year. But that was before I knew about the financial cycle where everybody's predicting a crash. That was before I knew about any of that. And then other people started saying the same thing. Now, whether it happens or not, I don't know, because his grace can hold things back. But I do know this. The restrainer is restraining the evil. The biblical mandate in 2 Thessalonians of that which restrains him is restraining. Because this should be worse. I think the powers that be thought that there'd be race riots and we'd be much further along. They were not prepared for the calm, peaceful, even spiritual response. But it's building up, it's ramping up. And as you were talking, it dawned on me. Most of SRT's activity happens from July to December.
Wow.
So we're heading into time period. Whether this lined up with the summer solstice, maybe whether this was the bloodshed of that, I don't know. But what I do know is that this kid was considering doing something like this back in February when he went to a Bed Bath & Beyond store and started asking questions and got a little squirrely, and they called security and he talked his way out of it and left. So whatever's rolling around inside of him was thinking about this. But the one thing that he has in common with every mass shooter that the United States has had is not guns, it's drugs. Almost every mass shooter, either before or during the time that they do their event, are on some kind of psychotropic drug. He was on something called, and I may mispronounce it, Subazone, S-U-B-O-X-O-N-E, which is a Schedule 3 narcotic that once you go onto it, they have to wean you off gently. The Medical Health Daily says, during withdrawals, you may not feel like yourself, which may cause you to freak out. You may feel like you're a totally different person. Your endorphin and your neurotransmitters are different, and it'll take a while to feel like your old self. And I did some research here. This is a personality mind-altering drug that almost every mass shooter has had, whether it was Zoloft or Zanuck, all the way back to the kids at Columbine, that causes depersonalization, confusion, anxiety, mood swings. This is some of the quotes of the people that have been on the subazone that this kid was on. One guy named James wrote, "Man, this is the toughest thing to go through, period. I am 3 weeks into it, and I feel like hurting myself. I've been through a lot in my life, but this takes the cake." Another woman named Lana wrote, "I'm going insane. Subazone increased my depression. I lack motivation. I was nauseous nonstop. I gained weight. I lost all motivation and love for life." Chris wrote, "My doc won't refill my prescription, so I am sitting here restless, irritable, mood swings, feeling like I am going bleep crazy." You don't just stop. And I did some research, and we're not going to go into it. Take so much time. This is one of those drugs that once you get it in your system, like Xanax, you have to slowly wean somebody off of it, or they can go nuts. And what they do with these people is they just cut them off. Well, you're asking for trouble. Almost every perpetrator of school shootings and mass murder in our modern era, you will find psychiatric medications involved.
Back in 2007, I had known a few people that were hooked on Suboxone.
There you go. That's the right name. That sounds better.
Yeah. It is called Suboxone, and it's used to give to people who get off of heroin. They go to the methadone clinics. They usually wean them off, and they put them on Suboxone, and that's a really popular one. In 2007, 2008, young kids between the ages of, I mean, it ranged from like 13 to 20, 21 back then, that they were paying, back then, they were paying $30, $40, $50 for one pill. That's how desperate they were to get it. It became the new cocaine. You know, where you would spend, you know, $50 on cocaine back in the day, people were spending $50 on a pill. Now what's happening is people are getting hooked on heroin. They get off, they wean them off, they put them on Suboxone, your insurance covers them. You go every morning to a clinic and you take it. The problem is when you get off of that, now you're left with the withdrawals that can be worse than when you were, you know, weaning off of heroin going into Suboxone. So it is psychological in one aspect, but it is your body physically needs it, and it causes people to rob, kill, steal, do whatever they can to get this drug. Right now, Suboxone here in New England, I would probably say the most addictive drug, I mean, and it's like this all over the world, but stats here in the New England area is heroin, number one, because it can be so cheap. See, when people can't afford Suboxone, then they go to heroin because it's so much cheaper. It goes, heroin and Suboxone are the two drugs out there that are sweeping New England and keeping the clinics full. Doctors are opening, people who are in the practice are opening up clinics just to be able to prescribe Suboxone, because they know so many people are hooked on it. It's a money-making revolving door.
Well, think about what you just said. Think about what you said. Heroin's the number one drug. You get arrested, you get put on a court-mandated drug program, they give you Suboxone. Then when you get kicked off the program, you go through withdrawals. What do? You get back on heroin. Then you get arrested and you get put back on the program. And you're on this vicious, psychotic merry-go-round that you have to believe, and we don't have time to talk about Big Pharma. You have to believe this is manipulated. This kid, Dylan Roof, that was his drug of choice. When he was arrested in February, that's what he had on him, and his friend said he was a pill popper. And he was out there, and immediately he gets labeled as a racist and a gun nut. And that to me is so offensive, not just on the level of what I believe in, but that was a lie. This kid wasn't just a racist. He hated everybody. He hated America. He was a drug addict. He was mentally deficient. He never should have been on the streets. And let's talk about our healthcare system. Everybody goes, oh, we need gun control. No, we need a better healthcare system, and we need to get a grip on these doctors and how much money they're making off of these drugs in these clinics. Because all the way back to the 80s, I've shared in my testimony, a cousin of mine who was a career criminal that I led to the Lord before he passed away, he would tell me he was a drug addict, he was a heroin user, they put him on methadone, and they wouldn't let him get off. He kept trying, I want to be clean. I don't want to be on methadone. And they would not let him get off the methadone. Finally, one of the people said, look, our clinics stay open based on numbers. If all of you guys got off methadone, we'd be out of business. And he looked straight at me. Bobby wasn't real bright, but he was bright enough to realize, so you're keeping me hooked to keep your job. And guess what, folks? Here we are, 2015. Nothing's changed. We got other things to talk about, but the one interesting thing I noted, and no matter what your political affiliation is, but here's an interesting piece of trivia, that Dylann Roof in the Charleston, South Carolina shooting is the 21st American mass shooting since Obama became president. That's not including the Boston Massacre. Is that political? No. You know what it is? We've created an atmosphere of anger and resentment, and the powers of darkness in full bloom, and we're getting ready for something. Now, Joe, you brought about the issue of, are we getting ready for something? There's a guy that has come on the scene, Alex Tsipras, new Greek prime minister, the mystery man, out of nowhere, it's like a rock star, takes control of Greece, interestingly enough, backed by George Soros's money. He wins. He's an atheist. He's the first atheist to ever win. He doesn't take his oath on a Bible. Won't do it. But yet, in the short period of time that he's become, I think 6 months now, he's already formed an alliance with Russia and Turkey. He's already had private meetings with Pope Francis about a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians. And just this week alone, in the last couple of days, Vladimir Putin has stepped up to promised to build a Russian pipeline to help Greece pay its debts, and is also willing to bail Greece out, because if you follow this stuff, Greece has collapsed financially. Their loans are being called in. The people are rioting. Everything's getting ready to fall apart. But in the middle of it is this man, this person who, if you listen to everything I just said, you have to go, is this the guy? Is this possibly one of the strongest candidates for the Antichrist in the world right now?
I'm going to tell you this, and obviously I don't want to really go on a religious rant, and that's not what we're doing at all. But I'm going to say this. A lot of the stuff that we're watching now, or when we talk about prophecy in the news, I have noticed that a lot of the stuff that is, I guess what I'm trying to say is, a lot of these teachers, a lot of these people that go out there and they travel on the road, and that's great, you know, whatever works for you. But here's my thing. It seems like we're at a point where we put so much energy of trying to prove that this is the end times, this is it, or this is going to happen next year, and this is the timetable, and this is what my research has brought me. And it charges everybody up, and everybody has this false hope that, okay, then the Lord is going to, you know, come next week, or it's any time. And you spend so much energy trying to prove the end is coming. I say, let's deal with how we're going to and what we're going to do while we are in the end times. I guess at this point, I wouldn't try to go out there and prove my point of when it's going to end or how close we are to it ending. Let's talk about what we can do along the way to reach out to more people to get them prepared. Like you had said, that you wish you can go to various places, various churches, and do seminars and teach them on warfare and discerning of spirits. I think it really starts with that. let's not try to prove that it's going, the world's going to end and the Lord's going to return. We already know that.
Let's see
what we could do right now while we can. And I think that's what's frustrating to me, because it's like, I understand people want to make a living and they want to do their things and whatever, but at least go out there with a message that people could say, okay, this guy's got my attention, this person has my attention, instead of trying to prove to what you think the biblical timeline is.
Yeah, my position on this, and I've made it clear here on Wednesday night and when I go to speak, all of this is to get somebody to the place that they would acknowledge it could happen at any moment. And I always end everything I do with the question, but are you ready? And if you're not born again, you're not ready. If this conversation doesn't lead to the conclusion of, are you ready? Those people that walked into that Bible study on Wednesday night, the prayer meeting, obviously they were ready. And the reason I say obviously is from the response of their family members that were able to stand up in the sentencing or when the boy was arraigned and say, I forgive you and find the Lord and he'll forgive you. I mean, the response that's coming out of that church and from the people, I believe all those people stepped over into eternity and just went, I'm out of that crazy world and I'm with you, Lord. I'm good. But if this guy is who he could be, and he's the best candidate I've seen so far, and if the Pope shows up in New York in February and reads the speech that they think he's going to read, calling for a one-world governance on climate change and helping the poor, which only leads us to a one-world, new-world order and a one-world religion led by a man who doesn't even believe in God, Tsipras. Are we seeing the beginnings of the Antichrist and the false prophet and all those things? I don't know, but I do know this. Every generation has had their guy. And that's why I'm not going to say unequivocally, this is the guy. And others saying, well, he's going to come out of the Middle East. He's going to be a Muslim. He's going to be this. I don't know. But what I do know this is this. If the house of cards that we live in falls down and guys like George Soros have their way and they want to redesign and restructure society, we're not going to function, especially if, like the group people in ISIS, the people of the cross, you know, ISIS, when ISIS took Libya, that should have frightened everybody, because Libya is right next to Italy. And the last time this kind of a force moved across the continent and got to Tripoli, got to, you know, Italy, they were stopped. Otherwise, they would have run right over Europe and then eventually into the Americas. We're there again. And this time, I don't think anybody's going to stop them. So what this kid did in South Carolina could happen on a massive scale all across the United States. And what are people going to do? Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to have the faith to stand up, heels dug in, knowing that through the power of his name and the spirit that's inside of you, you're going to stand up to this? I don't know. But what I do know is that whether it's Tsipras or Pope Francis or the Vatican, who Michael Savage, who has a humongous following of millions of people, is outright calling the false prophet. I don't know that he is, and I'm not going to say that, because some people said that about Pope Benedict, others said it about John Paul. It could be anybody, and I don't believe the devil has one guy. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show. I believe the devil has multiple choices he could use just in case, so at the last moment he can't get shut out. But, you know, getting back to what you said, sorry I went on a little rambling rant there, is everything's got to lead to one direction. Are you ready? Even with what we do with SRT, we go in, we help a family, we clean everything out, we get them to starting point zero, we get them to a place where now they're in control. But you said it, Joe, it comes down to their choices. You choose the rest of, now everything's good, all the doors have been closed, all the spirits are gone, all the torment's over. Now you get to choose. And we've had people not do what they were supposed to and let things back in. Well, think about that on a worldwide scale.
And here's the other thing, too. When we're dealing, like, take ISIS, okay? Just take that, right? they don't view themselves obviously as psychopaths.
No. They're on a divine agenda in their mind.
They are on a divine agenda to find because they know about the apocalypse coming and what that's right. what they're doing and how to. So we already know what they're in, their beliefs are. And what blows me away, and we've talked about this before, if we can put so much evidence, if we could come to a point where we can put everything into something we believe in love, like a lot of these groups are doing, then I think our community, our world, the forces of good, the godly people here, can start to build an army, because it just blows me away. Their desire and their love for their beliefs are so strong that they'll do what they can, and they'll stop at nothing to do that.
Well, the Satanists are like that. They're like that. They'll incantate in front of that red candle. There'll be somebody there 24/7 until the desired outcome happens. The sold out witches that are involved in dark magic, they'll do the same thing. But we can't get people, we can't get a group of people to come together and say, hey, we're going to actively pray for X number of days. Can't do it. The church is lazy, excuse me. The church, the American Western church, it's lazy. It's listening to the feel-good gospel. Hey, I want my best life now. I don't want to struggle. I don't want to deal with warfare and demons. I don't want to deal with that stuff. You guys go do that, man. I want to live in the big homes and the Cadillacs, and I want to have my bills paid for. They don't want to struggle. Well, then they're not ready for what's coming, and they obviously don't read the book I read, because the Lord said it's going to really get bad. Revelation, it's going to get bad. The apostles, hey, guys, it's going to get bad. So what would the message be? Be ready. Be ready. When we see a guy, this guy, Alexis Tsipras, when he meets the Pope, and now listen to this quote, and I've made it clear, he's a young guy, he's 39, he's charismatic, he's got the look, he's got the spiel, he's got the whole thing. The slogan for his campaign was, hope is coming. Sound like a similar campaign from 2008 about hope. Complete atheist, his roots are in socialism and communism, but then listen to what he says, and tell me there isn't a serpent's tongue on this. In meeting the Pope, Pope Francis, he came out of the meeting and said, we agreed on the need to continue the dialogue between the European left and the Christian church. There's a need to create an ecumenical alliance against poverty, inequalities, against the logic that markets and profits are above people. Why is this guy even having a meet? Why is the Pope, if he's a believer in Jesus and if he's a Christian, why is he even having a meeting with this guy? Why is he coming into an ecumenical alliance with a man that is a complete atheist, that would not take his vows on a Bible, and has made it real clear what he thinks about us? Huh. We've seen some little backdoor scheming going on here. I don't know, folks. This is just, we need to wake up. I almost took that song out. I didn't tell you this, Joe. I almost took the song out. You know, we're going to a new thing. We're doing a news kind of commentary format. But I thought about, no, we're still waking you up. We're still saying finally awake, hoping that you believe it and hoping that you'll act like it. Hoping that you'll say, hey, I want to be a part of the solution like Joe just talked about. I don't want to be a part of the problem, and I don't want to be caught asleep. But I'm sorry, folks, I'm not seeing it. What I'm seeing is we're running around like people with our head on fire telling you to wake up, and you're all going, well, it can't be all that bad, Richard.
And you know what's funny, too? You know, we always talk about how the enemy can work in the lives of believers. Now, first of all, before I say this, do not take it personal here. I think it's a great thing that we can get up and we can be positive. I think if you have a teacher or somebody that you like and you want to listen to, do it. I do it with the porch. It's fine. You know what I'm saying? If you can get that meat, if you can get that spiritual food and it's godly, then I would say do it. If it's according to the teachings of Jesus, do it. Now, that being said, there are people who will put themselves in a slumber of constantly listening to these feel-good messages that this is your life. This is your world. Let's bring heaven here on earth. Be successful. Be prosperous. God doesn't want you sick. God wants you well. God wants you rich. And I understand that. But we can get so caught up in those messages, and because it is said to be Christian, it gives people the green light to listen to it. And like I said, there's a place for all that. I understand it. But as that's going on, as we're listening to that as a society, we're forgetting what is really going on biblically, what is happening in the end times, the Antichrist, everything that's happening on a scale in the supernatural realms right now, that it's everything, anything but being positive, being rich, and bringing heaven here on earth. That's the deception. So does the enemy need to really work outside of the church right now? Unfortunately, no. I think it's like fishing. If the getting's good and the fish are biting, why leave? And that's where I think we are right now. I think the enemy is hanging out in religion right here, and putting these little smoke screens. So where do you go from here, Richard? It's mind-blowing, but where do you go and where do you start? That's how I would close this show off, asking you.
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a really, really good question. About a week ago, I was sitting here in my office thinking, why am I bothering? Why am I doing this? And then, you know, the Lord said, for the sheep that want to be fed. And then I went outside and kind of griped to my wife, and she said for the same thing. She said, for the people that want to hear you and need to hear you, you're doing it for them. And I know that, and I was never going to quit, but it gets frustrating when you see the people who are, quote, prospering, and the ones who are struggling, the ones who are struggling, the ones that refuse to compromise, and the ones who want to get their hands dirty, and the ones who really want to do something for the flock. And the guys that are wearing, you know, that have no struggle, they're tickling the ears, and it's always been that way. We see it was that way almost immediately after the crucifixion and the resurrection. So all we can do is keep going and keep warning and keep feeding. You know, as I prepare to build the studio, and as I put almost everything that comes in goes right back out, I don't get to keep any of it. It all goes right back out. I was sitting here thinking, if this economic collapse happens in September, October, why am I doing this? Well, I'm doing it for as much as I can do before that, so that if it does go down, and if the UN does take over the internet, just read an article today, that may be the other thing that happens in September at this UN meeting, the internet being signed over to a UN control group, which was hidden in the net neutrality thing. If that happens, we're off the air. So as much as we can do between the time that the enemy pulls that trigger, we're going to do. And we're going to shine that light, and we're going to go toe-to-toe. We're not going to back down. Quick little thing, and Joe will tell you this is the truth. I got hit with an attack out of the blue, sinus infection, vertigo, raspy voice. Normally, my attitude would be, well, let me just take a rest. And I heard the Lord say, do the show. Go on. And as I took my dogs outside, which was not easy to do, bright sunlight. If you have ever had vertigo and you're in bright sunlight and you have water next to you, like my pool, I should have had a GoPro camera on. It would have been funny. But I stood there and I said as loud as I could, my neighbors probably thought I was nuts. I was speaking to the powers of darkness, and this is all I said. You can't stop me. I am bought with the price. I am marked by the blood. I know whose spirit's inside of me. You can't stop me. And at that moment, everything changed. It just changed. So all we can do is go on. All you and I can do is continue to press on and make plans for SRT and try to help people and figure out where the money's going to come from and how we're going to do it. And those who want to will, just like with the Lord.
Well, you know, the story you just said, you know, you're dealing with the vertigo, you've got the sinus infection, you know, you kind of get caught off guard, you know, you're psychologically out of the game, and then all of a sudden, something snaps, and bang, you pull out of it, you speak to them, and then everything, the atmosphere changes. And that's the key, what you just said right there. It's believing that the one that's inside you is greater than he that's in the world. And once we can do that, we can bust through that psychological barrier, that psychological warfare. The problem is most of the people that are out there are running. They'll go in their bed and lay down and say, I don't feel good. They won't press forward to get to that point. It's a matter of understanding how to get to that point. And I hope and pray that going forward with the Bible show, SRT, the porch, what we can do is educate people on how to break through that. Now, it sounds easier said than done what you just did, but once you understand that formula and know how to get to that point, then we as believers can take that authority and realize it's just a matter of overcoming it, because it connects with what you said earlier. The enemy is a coward. It's just that the front is to make you believe he's not, and most of the people will turn away out of discouragement or fear. But when you press on, you see how the atmosphere changes. Exactly what happened to the desert with Jesus when he was tempted. It's a matter of being able to understand how to overcome the psychological warfare that really isn't that much once you understand who your enemy is.
Amen. And that's why we do this. You know, we started out the beginning of the year. The goal was to make you victors and not victims. And we're going to hang in there, and we're going to keep going. And line in the spiritual sand and look at the enemy and say, no more. You shall not pass. You're done. Back off. We're hoping that you're going to be with us. I'm hoping that when the studio is up and running and we're doing the online interactive stuff that you participate and willing to support it. But guess what? I'm going to do it anyway, because this is what we do. It's dark out there. We've been given a light. We're going to shine it. I'm Richard Grun, along with Joe Citrone and all the rest of SRT. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.